So I, Pam and I, at least I do, feel sort of totally out of the loop right now in relationship to our sort of church family and relationship because of everything that's been going on in our own family lately. And so when Chris and I talked about me speaking for this last Friday, I was like, wow, I just feel really disconnected because I really haven't, I haven't been here in a long time, so, which is weird. With the season that we've been in our family is coming to a close in the sense that we're wrapping up a lot of the details. For those of you who don't know, Pam's dad needed to go into a care facility. As a result of that, we recognized that her mom needed care. Pam's older brother, who's lived with younger brother, who's lived with his parents all his life, but by himself, just a whole situation. And so, in the last months, we made a decision. These decisions: Pam's dad went into a care facility. Pam's mom and brother come to live with us. Everything has changed for us, you know, including the vision of what we saw the future being. You know, like we thought we were going to be empty nesters, and we now have a bunch more birds in the nest. So. So it's been really, good, but it's been really challenging, and that's part of, I guess, partly what I want to share a little bit about, in the sense that, you know, you'll notice the title of my message, "God is No Grinch," and when we think of Advent and this Sunday, this Friday, I should say, this last Friday, we're going to focus on this. We're focusing on the issue of love, but. You know, I really had to really dig deep and reach deep into my heart to find the necessary love to respond to the situation that we had to respond to with Pam's family. And the unique thing about God is that he doesn't have to work at developing capacity for love. He doesn't have to work at it. He doesn't have to dig deep. Like I do as a human sometimes, because I lack compassion, I lack mercy, I lack love. God doesn't have to do that because he isn't a Grinch. There's no stingy, hard part of his heart. And for those of you who are familiar with this classic movie, I mean, it is the story of this creature that has somehow lost their capacity for faith and belief and love and all of these things, and goes on this journey and finding it back. God never had to go on that journey. God never had to go on a journey to find the capacity in his heart. And that this really is the story of Christmas, because when we think about a simple verse like John 3:16 that says, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, it's not like God had to dig deep within himself and muster up the love and commitment to do it. It's resident within his nature. And we see that in this wonderful passage in the Old Testament in Isaiah 9. And so I'd like to read this. So if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to Isaiah 9. I'm not going to put it up on the screen, but if you have a Bible or a phone that has an app and you want to look it up, what I want to do is really just read through the first seven verses of Isaiah 9. Because it's actually a whole, we often take out verses 6 to 9 and we concentrate on them at Christmas, but it's that 6 to 9 is part of our larger context. And it really speaks about, it speaks about this idea of the advent, the coming of Christ is spoken of this passage, but also this intrinsic love and actually passion that God has that causes him to do certain things. And so Isaiah 9 says this. It says, "Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and of Naphtali will be humbled, and there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light." And we recognize, as John writes in John 1, that, you know, this, that that Christ is this light. He comes into the world, into the darkness. This, the Word of God comes into this place of darkness, and he dwells among us. And for those, it goes on to say, for those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. And you will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. And they will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you break the yoke of their slavery, and you lift heavy burdens from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will be burned, and they will become fuel for the fire. There's this wonderful prophetic picture here that Isaiah is just painting about what it will be to walk out of this time of darkness. And Advent for us is the season of light. It's that season that comes that reminds us that the light of the world has come, which is Christ. And Isaiah, in this wonderful passage, is really this imagery about people who are walking in darkness see this great light. And all of these things happen of restoration. All the things that happened in their lives that were brutalizing them, that were a reminder of the war that they were in, that were filled with the boots of people who were treading on them, that were filled with uniforms that were bloodstained, they would, into that, all of that would be burned up. And it would become the very fuel that would create the fire, which is interesting because it's the same image of light. So Christ is the light that comes to us, but yet God, in the uniqueness of his love for us, actually takes all the things in this passage that represent their pain and their destruction, he burns them and creates more light with them. It's a really powerful image. Because sometimes the light that God brings into our life is his own light, but sometimes God actually takes the circumstances around us, the things that actually are meant for our destruction, and he puts them in the fire too. He adds to the fire, he consumes them and creates greater light out of it, which is really an amazing capacity that God has. And so in the midst of this, at verse 5, the traditional verse that we tend to read at Christmas comes, and it's Isaiah 6. It says, "For a child is born to us, and a son is given to us." So this is right after the verse where he says, "I'm going to take these things, these bloodstained uniforms and these boots, and I'm going to burn them." All of a sudden now he says, well, how is that going to be accomplished? Well, because for us, a child is going to be born. A son is going to be given. And so Isaiah begins to speak prophetically of the time, this time when God himself would give to us his son. And then the wonderful confidence that comes with this, and the government will rest on his shoulders. All authority, the authority that tended to be used to brutalize Israel, because Isaiah is talking to Israel, the government and the authority that was used to brutalize them, God himself will put that, and it'll rest on this child's shoulder. And we'll call that child the Wonderful Counselor. We'll call him Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And his government and its peace will never end. And he will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. And the way this passage ends is so powerful. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. It is the commitment of God's passion to make all that happen. It's the commitment of his love to make all that happen for us. And this is why I can say with confidence that God is no Grinch. He doesn't have to have his heart enlarged. And again, in that story of the Grinch, the reality is his ability to enter in or to love was primarily, in the storyteller's words, because of the smallness of his heart. And God's heart is not small. God's heart doesn't have to be enlarged by any other entity. And in fact, God's heart isn't even enlarged by our love for him. It isn't enlarged by our devotion for him. It isn't enlarged by our obedience to him. It isn't enlarged by our religiosity. It's not enlarged by anything that we do. His capacity goes well beyond any of that. And that's the power of the story, really, of Christmas. It's what allows him to give his son, knowing that his son will be brutalized, knowing that his son will be rejected, knowing that his overture of love towards the world will be totally ignored by most people. But yet God's heart is not diminished. That's what the love we're talking about at Christmas. Now the reality is that God may not need his heart enlarged, but I do. I need my heart enlarged. And part of my heart is enlarged by the encounter I have with this God who has a capacity of to love far beyond what I can understand. But we've got to have our hearts enlarged somehow. Because, you know, I started off talking a little bit about our circumstance right now, and, you know, on one level, I sort of can pat myself on the back. You know, when we tell people what we've done, most people say, wow, that's really amazing. You don't know what I think when I go down into my basement at night now. You really don't know. My heart is not as large as it might seem. Sometimes my heart is so small. Sometimes my heart is so cold. And I need my heart enlarged. And so as we think about that, I just want you to think about that part of the movie when that transaction happens for this character called the Grinch, who's a classic character.
Singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came.
Somehow or other, it came just the same.
Mr. Grinch!
And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling.
How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags.
And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before.
Maybe Christmas,
he thought.
Doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
Then, well, in Whoville they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day.
That's a great clip. It really is, don't you think? Why I wanted to show you that is because I just want to punctuate the point that I made is God doesn't need that experience to happen because his heart is of a capacity that it doesn't need to be enlarged. but ours do. And they need to continually be enlarged. And, you know, sometimes we think that we've got these massive, broad hearts. And sometimes we do. But it's like there can be other areas of your life where your heart is just really tiny and lacks the capacity that God would like it to have. Now, the nice thing about God is that he doesn't come and beat us up with a big stick for us to have a new encounter. He doesn't rip our chest open and force our hearts larger, but maybe like the Grinch, he allows us to see something or hear something that enlarges our heart. And it's the song of the people in the traditional story. It's the song, actually, that the Grinch hears coming from Whoville. It's that song, it's the melody and the tone and and this weird lyric, because you don't even know what they're saying, that somehow penetrates his heart, doesn't it? And so tonight, I think my prayer for us is as we worship and as we hear that song that resonates from the heart of God, and that's what worship is. It's the song that resonates also in the heart of God. You know, I would just ask you respectfully to ask God to give you more of his heart. Enlarge your own heart in the areas where it's small. And that's not meant as a judgment, it's meant as an observation. Because sometimes we can go through experiences in our life and our hearts get tighter and tighter and tighter. You know, sometimes we can be really generous and then we have an experience and it just causes us to close our hearts down. You know, at this time of year, we got a lot of friends around us that the church touches and people touch here at Urban Hope. You know, and this season is a season where we often have more capacity in our hearts. My question to you would be is, come March or April, will your heart be as large as it is today or just prior to Christmas? You know, sometimes we get caught up in the spirit of giving at Christmas, which is awesome. But that enlarging of our hearts needs to be a continual event. We need to keep seeing our hearts get larger and larger and larger, because that's the model that God gave us. Because his heart was so large that it says for us, a child would be born and a son would be given and all authority would rest on his shoulders. And what would accomplish that would be the compassionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies. This will make it happen. It is the commitment of his love and passion to make that happen for us. So Lord, I ask as we just think about this passage and we ruminate on the vastness of your heart, the capacity, Lord, of your heart to endure continual rejection, the rebellion of your people over centuries. And yet your heart remains large and open towards us and the world. Father, I ask that you would allow us to just have the vastness of your heart just continually crack open our heart and make it bigger and make us feel. And not just think differently about things, not just have good theology about having a larger heart, not just about having a good theology of what it means to have larger capacity in our hearts, Lord, but to have a great practice, a continual experience, Lord, of the widening and expanding of our hearts, Lord.